Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And we're sitting reverse today.
I know, this feels weird.
I know, I wonder if it sounds off.
Does it sound like I'm in reverse or...
I don't know, this is...
Alternate Chris? Is this like the darkest timeline?
This is a mirrored version.
Well, I don't know, like, we don't really... It doesn't seem like we have a whole lot of positive things to say, so this might be the darkest
timeline. Here we go.
Right.
Classy Ring Attire, the darkest timeline edition.
Darker than Weekend at Sheamus?
I don't know.
Because that one involved a lot of dead bodies.
That it did. Okay. So, the Rumble happened.
Yeah.
And it's been a few days.
Of all the things you can say about it, we can say that it did happen.
Yeah. I wasn't happy, and I'm assuming you weren't happy. Like...
It was a good Rumble match until like the last 5-10 minutes, I guess. Whenever we got down to like the final four, the final three, that's when it kind of went south for me. That's when it felt like it lost a lot of momentum and the rhythm that it had was completely gone.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand the reasoning behind having your final three be Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus. I understand that because Cena obviously is your A guy.
He's your winner, so he has to be in final three.
Ryback's your big beast who's never been a Royal Rumble before, and he's white hot, so sure. And then you got Sheamus, who was last year's winner, and they're still high on him for some ungodly reason. I get it.
Yeah.
Whatever their plan was, I don't feel like it was executed very well. The whole thing, especially when Sheamus was eliminated and it was down to just Ryback and Cena, they did the whole thing. I don't know if they're trying to rip off Bret Hart and Austin from WrestleMania, where you know, Austin was in the sharpshooter for so long that he passed out. It seems like they tried to do that, but it's so
that was not very long.
Not very. It wasn't very long, and it's not as convincing when it's the STF.
And it's the STF.
Right, and that alone just seemed to just deflate everything, because after that, pretty much, he lifted Ryback up, Ryback magically awoke, Ryback got in a few shots, started, you know, looking dominant again, and then he was barely pushed over the top rope.
Yeah.
Badly pushed. Like, I think it was clothesline, but it was one of those where, like, he didn't quite go over, and it seemed like they took at least another try.
Yeah. I mean, that's because Ryback's a huge... If... Any other point, Ryback would have been one of the guys where everybody had to stop fighting and work together for a second to get him out.
Right. But they also put him at the end.
Yeah, you stuck him in
so
the 30.
So it wasn't really all that many people left. I don't believe.
There wasn't. I mean, that's the thing. You stuck him at the end and he's, you know, super, super climbing the ranks rapidly. So.
Right. And I understand why... Strategically, why you're placing him last? Because one, you're saving your big pop dude for the last. Also, he's a guy who's not used to working.
This is his first Rumble,
not used to working long matches. So they didn't want to take any risk. Fine.
Yeah.
I would expect him to probably win a Rumble here in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
that's just me. If things stay the way they are, or progresses. If he doesn't Drew McIntyre up, or he doesn't Bobby Lashley or Brock, and you know, peace out.
Skedaddle. Yeah. I'm
still mad about that. More so about Bobby Lashley. I love Bobby Lashley. All
right.
Who's a big dude, but he can still move very well.
Brock can move very well.
Not as good as Bobby Lashley, though.
Yeah.
He didn't have the quickness. And I'm pretty sure, you know, Bobby Lashley wouldn't try to flip off the top rope and land on his face.
Yeah.
So, what was your main gripe about the Royal Rumble?
I've spent the past couple of days really, really thinking about it. Because I don't want to, you know, it's very specifically not that Rock beat Punk. You know, because I'm very much fine with Punk getting... You know,
and it was the outcome we knew we were going to get.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like his record, Punk's record, is going to be broken anytime soon. It is safe where it is.
For a while, because we had Cena, the last time we got a long run from the WWE title was Cena, And that was, what, 2006-ish into 2007, I believe.
I think it was 2007, yeah.
Something like that. And then I think before that, JBL had the World Heavyweight Championship for about a year.
Yeah.
But other than that, we really hadn't seen it. And that was even before Cena.
Yeah.
So it'll be a while before we even get close.
I can't imagine who the next guy to have the belt for an entire year.
Right. Really. And it's funny because it feels like forever ago that we were complaining that they, you know, a guy had the belt for like a month.
Yeah.
You know, but we are so far separated from that right now.
Which is great.
Which is great. Which is okay if, you know, Rock doesn't have a long title reign at this point.
Yeah.
We're kind of burnt. I think we're a little burnt out on it with people other than Punk at this point.
With people other than Punk.
Right.
But, you know, I was fine with Punk. He has to lose. I know that. Right. It's, you know, that's fine.
It was inevitable. We saw it
coming. Of course he's going to lose. I am fine with The Rock being champion. You know, when The Rock said at the end, right after WrestleMania, that he would be champion again, I was excited. Like,
right.
Rock championship, another Rock championship run, especially after proving he can still hold his own in the ring and doesn't have to have somebody who will cater to him to make him look good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine with The Rock getting another championship.
And it was pretty, it was, I mean, as if you needed one other sign, his mom was in the crowd. So, yeah. I mean,
Well, here's a few things, and like,
unless you're like a member of the Hart family.
There's a few.
That usually means a good thing.
There's a few really specific things that really, really broke this down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one was CM Punk winning the Rumble. Nope. Cena winning the Rumble. And here's why that really doesn't sit well with me.
Mm.
It's because we all predicted it.
Right.
And I,
of all the times for WWE to, like,
I am definitely contradicting myself because I have said before, shame on WWE for throwing away good storylines because they were predictable storylines.
Right, and now they're like, oh, it's predictable, but we still want
it. But it's the story we want to tell. Here it is anyway.
Yeah, but I get you.
Like, so I understand I'm predicting myself.
Right, you're right.
But here's the thing. 2 years ago, I predicted Del Rio to win the Rumble. And I was right. Mm-hmm. And it was just the
that was best that would
feel that it was
that one
awesome.
Was completely luck slash random on your part.
Yeah, but it felt awesome. Like, you know, correctly predicting the Rumble was great. And, you know, I was like, right. Yeah. And I predicted the Rumble correctly this year, and I was like, oh, okay. You know, so some unexpectedness has to be there.
I've correctly predicted the Rumble 2 years in a row now. By the way, just throwing that out there.
Didn't you predict Jericho to win last year?
I think Jericho was like my backup choice.
Tell me you didn't predict Sheamus to win the Rumble last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back and check.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I'm going to go back and check. Right. I think, I mean, it felt like, no, last year was the big complaint where we were all like, everybody predicted it to be Jericho. So they could have Jericho and Punk.
Right.
And then they made it Sheamus just because everybody was
right. And it was one of those things, like, I remember last year, I wasn't thrilled that Sheamus won the Royal Rumble.
No.
But I liked the fact that him and Jericho pretty much had a full, complete match after everyone else was eliminated. I thought that was really, really well done.
Yeah. And that was
the it was a big compliment to both of those guys.
And it was a well put together match where, like, I honestly didn't know who was going to go out at the end of that. But this one, you know, this one now, part of watching wrestling is I wonder what's going to happen.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. I am interested to know what's going to happen.
I think they peaked too early with their surprises.
Yeah.
Everything that was unpredictable pretty much happened in, like, the first third of the match. And then after that, it was like, all right, everything else is going to be predictable. Here you go. You got your surprises in.
Jericho coming back was great.
Fantastic. Completely caught me off guard.
That, like, genuine.
I remember, like, both of our reactions when that happened. Like, yeah. I was leaning back in my desk chair. My feet are propped up. As soon as
we were sitting in for a long Rumble.
Right, and you were leaning back. You were sitting on the floor, but you were, like, leaning back in your usual lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, that music hit, both of us stood straight up like, what is this? It was fantastic. I'm glad he's back. I know it's only for till, you know, the WrestleMania and stuff, yeah. But I'm okay with that. Considering, you know, there was a chance that we were thinking that we weren't going to see Jericho for a long, long time because of these contract disputes about wanting to do stuff away from the company.
Yeah. And having to secretly wish failure upon Jericho so he'd come back.
I wasn't so secret about that. Fozzy's a horrible band.
And thought everything. Whatever game show he was hosting. I was like, no,
hope it gets canceled. I don't care the game shows because he can record those.
Hope it gets canceled.
He's hosting a robot show on Sci-Fi coming up soon. That's okay,
cool.
Come on.
That's pretty cool.
He gets to hang out with George Lucas and his daughter. Okay?
That's pretty
cool. Come on. And robots.
Also, Gold Dust came back.
Oh, man. I was so beyond happy. I've always been a big Gold Dust fan myself. And I wanted so much to see him have a match against Cody. I don't know if they're going to do WrestleMania. It might have just been...
No, I think it was just for the night.
Just for the night. I'm okay with that.
But, like,
after thinking... But it gave me a little bit of hope, you know?
Like, after thinking we have been robbed of this,
mm-hmm.
like, it was nice to kind
of... And it was one of those things where, you know, you would think a guy his age, they would have him, you know... be there for a few minutes and then he's eliminated. But he was in there for a long while.
I mean, they had their own little mini story in the middle of the Rumble.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. And I thought it was really well done, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But...
And same could be said with Jericho and Ziggler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there were good spots in there. And, you know, and this thing is like, I enjoyed the book. Like, I enjoyed Zack Ryder in there. Like, he didn't do anything. But
you enjoy the fact that he was there.
I enjoyed him attacking Randy Orton, and it's all suddenly going, no, don't attack Randy Orton.
And there wasn't really any big, like, drawn out comedy bits.
Yeah, there was a quick Santino thing.
The Santino thing where he thought he eliminated everyone, and then he just got just mauled.
Yeah.
And then there was the Kane and Daniel Bryan thing.
So.
And then, you know. Godfather lasting for a second in his downsized tow train.
Yeah.
The economy, man, it's rough.
It's rough. Did you see what Kurt Hawkins tweeted?
What did he say?
I traded my spot to the Godfather for the rest of the hoe train.
I mean, you know, every man has priorities.
Well done, Kurt Hawkins.
You know, yeah.
Like, well tweeted. I'm glad Kurt Hawkins is entertaining.
But yeah, and it's just one of those things where just like, some of these, like, we always had the conversations like that spot could have gone to somebody else, you know, something along those lines. But, you know, I understand people want to see Godfather once in a while, I guess.
People want to cheer for
I think it would have been better if he came out as Papa Shango. Just because he hasn't done that character in so long. And it's an obscure thing that, like, a lot of people don't even know that it's the same dude.
I have a lot of people like, yay!
I mean, they have the same reaction when they see the Boogeyman. And they keep bringing him out.
I have the most confused pop right now. But...
I'm just keeping that to myself.
But... The thing is, yeah, the... Towards the end of the Rumble... And basically, when Jericho got eliminated.
Yeah. When Jericho and Ziggler got eliminated, that was pretty much, you know, we're winding down to stuff that we're not really that big fans.
Yeah. It's us as, like, the fans who we are and not the kids.
And just because, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, wasn't the staging awesome? I really dug the stage.
I really like when there's no ramp for the Rumble.
Yeah. Me too.
And the one that Cena won, I think that's my favorite Rumble staging.
The one at, was it Madison Square Garden?
Was it at Madison?
Yeah, because they always have the weird camera angle and the weird entrances, usually. Usually, sometimes, like, they changed it for Survivor Series this past year.
Yeah.
To, like, more of their traditional stuff, but for that, like, usually for that, or, like, WrestleMania 20, they had that it looks like a side entrance coming straight ahead in the ring. I did like that because basically they were just two video panels that kind of rotated back and forth to let people in. I really like that, and it was just funny to see people try to navigate through the doors when they were eliminated.
Yeah,
just like I don't know which way to walk. Do I go through the back? No, I go through the front. Okay. Yeah, I like that one.
And it aesthetic wise, it framed Cena really cool at his return. His big unexpected return.
His big unexpected return. He was still pretty much liked by the audience, so he got a huge pop. And you know, in that setup, you have fans that are very close to the entrance, so he's basically swarmed with all these fans.
Yeah,
it was a cool moment.
Right, and
before we all hated,
and the setup helped make that moment.
Yes.
So
I always thought the Royal Rumbles that had like the big doors that people like open are usually dressed up in like weird medieval clown costumes or something along those lines. And they would open the door. I thought that was a little bit cheesy. I think the last time they did that was whatever year Rey Mysterio won. Because I remember he came out in Eddie's Lowrider. I think that was last year. I think that's when they did it. I don't know.
That was definitely during a period I was not watching.
Fair enough. That was the year where Rey Mysterio won by, you know, leg scissors.
Yeah.
Everyone got leg scissors.
Yeah, that's everyone. I'm a being here forever.
Well, it's not like he could, you know, clothesline something over the top rope. I mean, let's be serious.
bounce. But
so yeah.
Here's the thing. Once we got back to really, you know, to the final three,
mm-hmm.
once Jericho and Ziggler left, those were like the tiniest sparkles of hope that maybe Cena would not be the winner.
Right. And I don't know. There was a little bit in the back of my mind. It's like, maybe they have Ryback win. Just to throw us a curveball. Maybe not go for the WWE Championship. Might do a World Heavyweight.
That was the thing. I was like, they would not.
It's been a while since someone won and went after the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So I figured that they're going with that. I don't know, it's one of those things, like, every now and then, they always change it up.
Yeah.
Or make it completely unpredictable.
Well.
So, I don't know.
But that
wasn't this year.
It wasn't. It was predictable. And watching wrestling, knowing the outcome, is boring.
It is.
And not, and well, here's the thing, but I say that owning DVDs of wrestling.
Sure, I have a hard drive completely full of it.
But I don't rewatch those for the stories leading up to the match. I watch them for the matches. The stories told through the matches.
Right. Anytime you're like, hey, you haven't seen this match, let me pop in this pay-per-view. Yeah. You have to see this match. Like, isn't that, like, you don't really have to explain the storyline or anything. Like, usually when I have a Royal Rumble that I like and I want to show someone, I don't even tell them anything about the storylines because it's not important.
Right. You know?
If it isn't, like, the only time it's been important is when I've shown someone the one where CM Punk was doing the Straight Edge Society thing.
Yeah. You
know? Or the Nexus in the Core part, because
in the Core, they're all equal.
Because in the Core, they're all equal.
But, all right, let's move on to the championship match. And again, it's not the CM Punk loss.
No, I'm fine with that. I really am. I don't think. And I don't even want to say the execution was off because, you know, these guys probably did the best they could with what they were told to do.
Well,
I just think they were told to do the wrong thing, I thought.
I understand, in general, basic setup, you're having a rematch, so you don't throw all your best stuff into the first match.
Right.
I get that on 99% of the time, but this is a match that is going to end a 400-plus day run.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Right.
And in this instance, I would be okay with diminishing returns in a rematch.
Right.
Because the match at Elimination Chamber, it's not as big a deal as this match was, mm-hmm. because this was the match that was going to end this record-breaking career streak.
Right. And I think I'm the same way. My main issue with it is the restart.
Yeah.
And how quickly that was over with. After, you know, we had this long match, after Rock got attacked by a Shield, after all this stuff, after Rock just got beat like crazy and pinned, that he can, you know, just restart the match and all of a sudden hit one Rock or one people's elbow and he's done.
Yeah, it was the people's elbow.
Right. Not even a Rock Bottom. I mean, come on. Come on.
That's why...
Oh, excuse me. It was the second people's elbow. So, ooh. It's like the five-point death punch or whatever from Kill Bill.
If you'll recollect, right after... Like, I think it was the very podcast after WrestleMania 28, my whole thing was, at least Cena didn't lose to the people's elbow. At least it was a Rock Bottom. Okay, because it was a Rock Bottom. And it wasn't.
But I guess it just wasn't the Rock Bottom night because, I mean, even the Spanish announce table didn't want to see a Rock Bottom. I had such high hopes, man. Oh, man. After every time that Punk just politely put everything back in order.
That's the thing, like, God,
Spanish announce table just did not, it's like, no, I don't appreciate anything. I'm going to collapse from under you even though you were nice to me earlier. No.
I gotta say, sidebar for a minute.
Okay.
Punk and his, like... He does something new in every match.
Oh, yeah.
So entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's some brand new pandering to the crowd, some brand new doing something. And
right. Just those tiny things that just crack me up. Like that, the Nexus Royal Rumble where he was in the head of Nexus. He delivered the knee in the corner to R-Truth. He was like, oh, what's up? And that just had me dying. Or later that year in the Elimination Chamber, and he was just mocking the crap out of Randy Orton. I thought that was the best thing in the world. Like, after he eliminated him, he was just laying into the guy.
No, he does the tiniest things, and it works well.
A lot like the way Shawn Michaels used to do. Like, we're talking like, you know, 90s Shawn Michaels when he was still on the drugs. you know, just little stuff. Like, there was one match, I can't remember at all what year it was or what show it was on. But I remember it was him versus Yokozuna. And he was just doing anything he could to get people to laugh at Yokozuna during the match. And I thought it was the funniest thing at the time. And I was also, like, you know, 7, but still.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that.
Mick Foley did that too.
Right.
Like, and that's why he was my favorite as a kid and to this day.
It's the reason why Shawn Michaels was my favorite.
He did the smallest, tiniest things that made the match. And Punk does that.
Makes it fun.
And
that was the one thing, like, he those parts that made the match fun, which was hard to do in such a serious tone that was, you know, was leading up to it and serious, you know, all this emotion that, you know, was displayed in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was, every now and then it's good to see stuff like that. Not saying that Rock's, you know, penis jokes are
emotional. Warranted
or needed, but every now and then you need a little bit of, you know, lightness, I guess.
But at the end of it, like, it's what I said in my column, is that the story that they decided that this match was, they decided it was the story of The Rock being the hero that saved us from Punk, and it was set up so much to pander to that, the whole thing with his mom. Let's take time to point out his mom in the crowd.
Let's take time to talk about the
struggles of his mom.
Right, and you know that long diatribe right before the match. I was like, "Yeah, are you kidding me?"
It's all to make Rock.
Like, it's one of those things where it's just like we're putting it on a platter. So you don't have to come up to any conclusions on your own. Here's all here. Just, you don't even have to work for it. It's right here in front of you. I hate that. I hate it.
And The Rock was not, you know, I know he was the people's champion. But when he was The Rock, you know, when he was on a weekly basis, he wasn't there for me. He was still there for him.
Oh, yeah.
And
the people's champ was more of like an arrogance kind of thing.
Yeah.
Back then.
Like,
now it's full on, it's like, I do this for you.
Like,
you
know? The pandering is not
full on Bane status. Just, I give it to you for the people.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to work in my Bane accent. Sorry.
I mean, CM Punk is my Batman of wrestling, so Rock can be my Bane of wrestling.
Oh, oh dear Lord. Oh.
So I accept it. Cool. But
cookie puss. Sorry, I need to say that into the can. Cookie puss. I don't know if that picked up on the radio, but
oh, man. Or
on the radio, whatever.
But that's the, you know.
Yeah.
The Rock.
There was better ways to go about it. And, of course, you know, if this leads to a clean, straight-up match between the two of them at Elimination Chamber, fine. I will eat my words, and I, like, sure, it was the Royal Rumble was a great setup then.
I'm in no way saying, you know, I try very hard. I never say, like, this is it. This is Ruined Wrestling. There's no point.
No, you're right.
There's a Raw every week.
Yeah, like, you know, the two of us, we're not like that. We're not going to be saying, like, oh, this is the unraveling of wrestling as we know it, blah, blah, blah. No. I just think...
It's not going anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to watch every week.
I just think there were so many better options to go without doing the restart. You know?
Right.
Have... They could even plan it out exactly the way they did it, with the Shield and everything, Vince come out, and actually stripping CM Punk of... the title, and from there they have two ways of going. Like, they could go ahead and put it on The Rock, fine. Brock probably wouldn't accept it because, you know, he didn't win it the right way, blah, blah, blah. And then have a straight-up match at Elimination Chamber, or leave it vacant and then have an Elimination Chamber match between six people. Whoever wins gets the belt.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because right now it sounds like there's only going to be, what, I'm guessing one Elimination Chamber match. If we're having a straight up...
If they're having a man-on-man match...
That's what it sounds like. That's what they made it sound like on Raw.
Yeah, that's what they made it sound like.
So, I mean...
I don't know what the prize for the second...
We're completely spoiled with these Elimination Chamber matches. We get two a year. You know, maybe they're like, okay, let's dial it down like, you know, Hell in a Cell. Just one.
No, I get two a year. I get two Elimination Chambers. I get two Money in the Banks. Those are the rules.
We're so spoiled because we didn't always get that until like the last couple years.
Well, I'm not asking for a third win at Mania if you don't want to. Although you need something there.
They haven't found it yet.
No.
There needs to be a staple of a match that is at WrestleMania every year.
It needs to be a gimmick match. Like,
oh, right.
You know, not something that only happens there.
Right.
So something, and yeah, they'll find a new one, I feel.
Oh, yeah. They just need to have that
idea. It was the TLC, and then it was Money in the Bank, and so they'll find a new one.
Right.
And it'll be nice. But as we continue along.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention this earlier whenever we were talking about the Rumble match. But I was impressed by Bo Dallas. I thought he had a strong showing.
I was
impressed that they actually gave him.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like, I was impressed finally with Bo Dallas. I was really impressed with how much leeway WWE is giving Bo Dallas.
Exactly, and that I felt like that was a good vote of confidence in him.
Yeah.
You know, and on Raw he seemed like fine. You know,
and to continue my newfound Cena hatred that's come out of nowhere. Like,
I was about to do my Emperor Palpatine, but I'll leave one impression per podcast.
Any vote of confidence in anybody that's not Cena is a really big deal.
It's impressive. And
I'm really approval of that.
Oh, yeah.
Or Sheamus. Sheamus does not get
a
pass on that one.
So let's talk about Raw then. What are your thoughts? We'll cover Raw first, and then we'll get to the end of Raw.
Oh, I don't even remember what happened on Raw. But I know what happened at the end of Raw. But like, I don't. Nothing happened on Raw that I really care about, other than the end of it.
I guess it's safe here.
It was Raw roulette. It's a little weird that Vicky, the heel.
You mean you don't remember the
Jericho the face,
right?
But she wore a weird, like, collar thing. Like,
a shirt
with just a collar.
A shirt with just a collar.
Like, I'm not one for, like, really delving into the fashion of Raw choices.
But that seemed
That was a weird looking outfit.
I was like, is there like a shirt that's exactly the same color as her skin or something?
She's like, she's wearing a shirt, it's just missing the shoulder parts of the shirt.
No, it's missing everything other than the buttons and the collar.
So, alright, but yeah.
So you're saying that the dance-off between Tensai and Brodus Clay wasn't memorable for you?
Oh, Tensai.
At least, you know, at least he seems like he's having some fun.
Yeah.
You know.
I liked
it for him.
I mean, yeah, no.
It's
the most entertaining I've been by Tensai ever. If it's between this
or him trying to be dominant and sandbagging everyone, I'm glad that going with comedic.
No.
Because we've never seen him in a comedic role. I don't even think we might have seen him in something funny here and there during the Attitude Era as you know, Albert or something.
Albert, yeah. But.
But I. Nothing this overt, I don't think.
I think the dude is making the best of a terrible situation. Like, Tensai's a terrible.
I do know this is probably character. Like the second or third time he's been in women's clothing on camera. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. You know.
Definitely isn't the first. I knew that.
But it's a terrible character, terrible situation. I think he's doing the absolute best he can with it.
At this point, yeah.
So.
At least now he's doing something doing as best he can with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Took him long enough.
So, you know, there you go. I didn't really care for it, but it's, you know, it's the least offensive thing that he's done. So.
Yeah. What happened with the Diva match? I think I turned away for like a minute or so and then just seemed like there was just awkward brawling happening. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because they had a lumberjill with the...
And then, like, the one of the commentators, like, somebody's music started playing. He's like, oh, finally, someone's got the cue and started playing music. I'm like, okay, what's... I had no idea what was... I knew they were wearing the feathery things, and so I, like, kind of looked away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either that or I skipped through it because I wasn't watching it live, so...
I didn't.
Speaking of, I know I've mentioned this on Twitter a couple times, but I did want to say thank you to our good friend Neil...
Yes.
You might have remembered him on
the
video game podcast over the holidays. He filled in for us on Twitter because Joel, you were working.
I was working.
I had a dumb safety meeting for work. Oh my god, that was horrible.
Yeah.
But Neil filled in and did a very smashing job. I thought had me worried though because like 5 minutes. A little inside baseball for everyone. It was like 8:05, so like 5 minutes after Raw started, I got a text from Neil. He was like, "So, do you guys have like a way you gotta like to keep it like PG or PG-13 on Twitter? Because I may have already broken that." And I was like, "Oh no, Neil, what have you done?" And I went through, and it was nothing terrible. So, like, dude, it's Twitter. There's no explicit tags on Twitter, so go for it.
Yeah.
So, but again, thank you, Neil.
Hopefully,
we'll never have. We never have to put you in that situation again.
Unless you want to watch Raw.
By yourself.
When it's Raw Roulette.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if you want to do it again, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But
for happens. Now.
But now I feel like because of him, we have to have staples now, like the Randy Orton. See, he called it the Classic Ring Attire Randy Orton Orange Meter.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Ryback Pink Eye Meter.
Oh, yeah.
I was like... Now I feel like I have to keep that going.
Yeah. But we get to the end of Raw.
Yes.
If they decide that CM Punk has been complacent in hiring The Shield and Brad Maddox this whole time.
There's no way they're going to give him a... Like, you would think they would just throw him under the rug and just... Or not under the rug, but just, you know, punish the crap out of him.
That's just... It leaves a bad taste on this 400-day thing. And he is obviously through plenty of nefarious, you know, underhanded things.
Right.
Ever since he turned heel. Since October, he's not won a title shot cleanly, I don't think.
No.
But, you know, that's fine because he's a heel. But... He's never been the kind of heel that does that. Because he's still CM Punk.
Right.
And being CM Punk, he has always still had, you know, had this standard. And I don't, it's an easy and a cheap way to end this story where everybody's like, oh, they're working together. And they're saying they're not working together. And it turns out, oh,
it would have been one thing if there was, it would be one thing if they put it all on Paul Heyman. Like, Paul Heyman was the one that.
No, that's the thing.
CM Punk really had no knowledge of it.
I can absolutely accept that.
Right.
And that I can even see that can lead to a Paul Heyman CM Punk falling out. That can lead to a Punk and Brock feud. Like,
right.
there are ways to go with it that way.
But with this way, I don't know exactly where they would go with it.
I don't know. There's a lot of ways to go. And the worst possible one is to have CM Punk go, yeah, I was hiring these guys.
I'm assuming they're going
to. I sent the text to myself.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's going to address this next month.
No, I assume right. so. But just anything but that.
Yeah.
And Brock's back. Brock. Vince McMahon, very serious kudos for taking that F5.
Right. But, I mean, it's Vince McMahon, so I'm like, what else was he going to do? Like,
I thought he was going to get a Kimura lock.
Oh, yeah.
I was sure he's going to get a Kimura lock.
Nah. Nah. Only pansies get that.
But he got
talking to you, HBK and Triple H.
But he took that F5. I was like, well done. Like, that's...
Right. And I had a feeling he would be coming back. Obviously soon, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with the announcement that he renewed his contract with WWE for another 2 years.
I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. I hope he agreed on a few more appearances.
So you don't have to space out the appearances as much.
Yes, this is ridiculous.
But then again, the more often we see him, the more chances he's going to be on the mic.
No, I'm hoping that 2 year contract comes with a 2 year Paul Heyman mouthpiece.
Fair enough.
That's, you know... He did a really good job of not talking in his return.
He did.
He looked plenty dominant, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he
beat up Vince milked it. For, he did milk it for a while. Just so. A lot of going back and forth between McMahon and Heyman. And just, yeah.
No, he didn't. But, you know, I like the dude in the ring. I really right. do. And... Even, you know, even though SummerSlam felt a little but like a bust, I want to see him in the ring as much as possible.
Even if it's a Triple H rematch?
Against as many different guys as possible. Let me finish my sentence.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Although I would watch him fight John Cena again.
That
was a good match. And so.
And I think it's going to be... I think it won't be too long till we see him in the championship picture.
You think?
Especially if he's got a 2 year
contract now. He's got a 2 year thing, but I don't know if he's going to appear any more frequently.
He could pull a Rock and just, you know, a certain number of it, just block that off. And that's how long he's going to
be champion.
Yeah, be chasing it and be champion.
Yeah.
Fine. And again, we don't know what details is in this contract, so we don't know if he has more appearances. I know for a fact they won't be, you know, regular throughout the year because that's why he left the first time, because he didn't like being on the road.
Don't go to any house shows expecting to see Mr. Lesnar.
Or Rock. Probably Jericho.
God, when Punk like
Jericho at the house show needs to stay away from flags.
Yes. Yes, because we don't want you to have to leave again.
Just stay away from flags this time around, please.
All that, like, that was really kind of intense when Punk brought up, like, here's some house shows. You want to go?
That was a good touch.
God. Punk, man.
I know. It's one of those things where, like, we try not to just drool all over about Punk all the time. But sometimes it's hard
but
not
to. But he makes it so hard.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just,
Were there any things about when we want to talk about some of the other matches?
Other matches?
I don't know. Like, a lot of people are... Some people saying that they really didn't catch it, they didn't think anything of it, but that Miz ankle
I saw in the comments this serious debate on whether or not Miz actually
It was one guy who was pissed that I said, you know, he screwed up his ankle. He was like, based on what? I was like, because whenever they replayed it, you know, the five times that he did, it looked ugly. And he was And yeah. It was one of those things where they didn't even play up the injury, so you kind of figured it wasn't a work.
Yeah.
You know. And if they're not going to play it up, there's no use for him limping.
Yeah, but he made his match.
He held up his responsibilities for the Rumble, and you know a lot of people have been giving grief about his ring work lately. I'm one of them. Fine, but in that moment, I all respect to the guy.
Here's the thing. The thing I've always given Miz, and I've been hot and cold on Miz,
right,
back and forth, but I've always given the guy works.
Oh, yeah.
The guy works as hard as anybody else in the company.
And oh, yeah.
He works for that company, and so I can totally believe he will work through an injury like that. So,
What are your thoughts about the heavyweight championship match at Royal Rumble?
Oh, the return of the duct tape?
Return of the duct tape. I also got heat for that from a couple people like
people disagreeing.
Disagreeing.
Well, I was a pretty big fan of it actually the first time. The John Cena Batista.
I thought like it was one of those things where it was like, okay, it might not have been the most serious moment, but it was different. It was different for a Cena match, and that's something that we were really wanting at that time.
Yeah.
We're still wanting that, but
I gotta watch them fight for four months.
Right.
They had a match at Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, and Over the Limit. So they had four championship matches.
And that one wasn't even the last one. That was like the second
to last one. So I am happy to have something break up. And that is a way and it's really difficult when you do, you know, a lot of feuds go on for three pay-per-views. And it's really difficult to have the same person win two matches and have the opponent still justified in I get another
as
chance.
As we saw with Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio last year, because
exactly.
That was four pay-per-views. Sheamus won every single one of them, and they're all pretty much straight up and down matches.
Yeah. And
it got old after the first pay-per-view.
Exactly. And at that time, to have, you know, Batista claiming he deserves another shot because of duct tape, you know, I bought that. I was still on board, ready to shell out, you know, my money and watch that next match happen.
And it's set up for a pretty decent sympathy segment the next night at Raw.
Right.
So.
That being said, I'm kind of surprised they brought it back this early.
Right.
I think JR has said 7 years. The idea that stories get recycled every 7 years because that's long enough that pretty much then there's a new audience. You know,
yeah,
people
they're,
have
they're
down
not
and
really
people start
they're not
watching.
Really doing that anymore.
I mean, it was, you know, well, it's been 7 years since Brock and Show broke the ring before. Show and Henry broke the
ring. Yeah, but I mean, like, a lot of other stuff, they're kind of thrown out the window and be like, oh, Cena's winning again. Hooray.
Well, generic Cena, like...
Cena won another Last Man Standing match? Hooray.
Well, there's a difference in, like, oh, only one Last Man Standing match every 7 years, and one Last Man Standing match that involves the use of duct tape. Like, there's a big difference there.
Fair enough, but still.
So I'm surprised. And part of it is that's kind of a big deal match for us because that was the first one that Neil watched with us. That pay per view was a big thing that kind of got Neil started to watch wrestling. The Batista senior one.
True.
And so maybe it's a bigger deal in my mind than it is.
I did like the
for a lot of people.
I like this match.
It feels like a pretty big thing to happen pretty recently for them to go back to that well again.
Right.
So soon.
Yeah. I like the match. I think I liked the Cena Batista same thing better, just because I thought it was better placed.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want to see Big Show trying to do sit ups because that's pretty much what we got.
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought the whole thing where Del Rio took the bump off the table, I thought that was impressive.
That was good.
He basically hit that table. Like, he hit the table and the floor head first, essentially.
Yeah. No, the
head and shoulder.
Fighting up the thing.
Oh, yeah, the staging.
No, that was well done. Big Show busting through into the box was a cool bit. So.
They kind of use that a lot, though, lately.
It looks good. That wall just explodes beautifully. Yeah,
but it's not Mark Henry and Sheamus launching a security guard. That's still pretty impressive. Because the guy's there 1 second, and then he's not.
I mean,
he exploded.
Mark Henry's my favorite monster heel still. You know,
right? Given his run at the end of 2011,
Big Show is just not.
And a lot of people are saying he's like there. One step away. Like there are a lot of people saying he was backstage at Rumble, ready to go if they needed him.
Yeah,
but they just decided against it at the last second. I think.
Did you hear rumors are that Chris Masters was backstage visiting?
He was visiting, yes.
So
I know. I posted on Facebook, be like, guys. It's rumored that it was Shelton Benjamin, Chris Masters, and Carlito are in the Phoenix area right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as soon as I posted it, one of our other columns, one of our other columnists, Kelly, she posts, like, because she lives out there, she's like, they did an independent show, like, last night. That's why they're here.
Yeah.
I'm like, argh! And to her credit, she was like, you know, things can happen, but I'm just like still. All the air is just
deflated. Yeah, no breath holding.
Yeah, and then like, oh, he's in the arena. Yeah, but he's probably just visiting.
Yeah.
That's the life of a wrestling fan. They get excited and then they get deflated and then they just don't really care anymore.
just show me Cena winning.
Yeah, let's see Cena winning again.
So. The only other matches that we haven't talked about is...
I don't really care
about Team Friendship and Road Scholar.
It was one of their... It was the typical match.
It was.
It wasn't bad. It was just, you know, when you have all these other...
The more important thing is...
Marquee matches.
The Team Friendship stuff that happened in the Rumble. Like, that's more... They can have a greater impact than anything else. So, I do not think that is the end of Team Friendship.
Oh, Lord, no. If anything, that's, like, they go to more therapy.
Yeah. I mean.
I don't know. I don't think they would end it right
again,
at this point.
Milk this into the ground. You know, this should not have ever started working. You know, as long as it's working, absolutely take advantage of it.
Yeah. I'm in full agreement.
Yep. So, but looking towards the future, there have started to be murmurings that Undertaker might not be at WrestleMania 29.
Right. There are rumors, just people saying that he may not be cleared health-wise to do it. You know, so now people are...
What has he been doing this past year?
I don't know.
Has he not been chillaxing on the couch, watching Breaking Bad?
Well, yeah, but he wouldn't be in very good shape.
Have you not seen his head? Clearly, he's watching Breaking Bad.
But again, if he's just watching Breaking Bad all day, every day, for the past year, he wouldn't be in good wrestling shape.
He did almost lose to a hood earlier this year.
He did almost lose to a hood.
So, maybe it would not be best.
But maybe he's born with it.
Maybe he's fabulous.
That's got a lot of people talking about contingency plans. Some people are throwing around maybe making a triple threat match between Roxanne and CM Punk.
It does negate the twice in a lifetime aspect. You know, we can still technically look at WrestleMania 28 and be like, that was technically once in a lifetime.
Just the two of them, now it's not so much.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot more interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, we are always kind of, we're always iffy about triple threat matches.
We are. I mean, we've had some great ones.
We have.
And so,
but you're not always so sure exactly how much you could bottle that magic,
right? You know?
And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they could make it a fatal four-way and throw in Ryback.
That's even riskier.
It's even riskier, especially with the guy that works that harshly and the guy that really that doesn't have WrestleMania experience.
Right.
Because I don't think he... No, he didn't. Well, he wasn't in Nexus or anything. Mm. Or anything like
that. Not at any point.
For Nexus us. Didn't even survive to WrestleMania.
Some of it did. Team Pucci did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I assume they were...
Hugs and Gills.
Yeah, Hugs and Gills.
One of these days. One of these days.
Oh, no, not even Hugs and Gills. It was just McGillicuddy and Otunga was the final Nexus grouping.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, don't you remember they were team Look How Cool the 90s Were? Like, they wore, like, sunglasses and backwards hats.
That was... Otunga was that, or I thought that was Hugs and Gills?
No, it was Otunga.
Alright, fair enough. Okay, I knew you're way into those guys a lot more than I was, so I'll trust you.
It was Hugs and Gills because they came in.
They came in together when they joined the Nexus,
right? And saved some.
I'm ready for Bray Wyatt to come up.
Yeah.
Every time I've watched some NXT or like footage of like promos and stuff, I really want him to come back. Yeah, even though I know he's hurt and I know it's gonna, you know, he'll be a while. But I'm just ready. Especially with his brother, Bo Dallas, already coming up.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I am any pushing of any new talent, I'm 100% all for.
We got a lot of new talent within the past year.
But what I really want to see is a focus on the new talent that's been introduced. I want to see some Brad Maddox and some Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
You know, yeah, I'm ready to actually see people that are in the Shield be in actual matches where they're not wearing, you know, tactical gear.
Right. I mean, we've mostly just seen them run in, beat throw a punch, and run out. You know, we got one really great promo from Dean Ambrose and kind of nothing after that.
And a TLC match.
Yeah. But I'm talking on as far as promos go, which, you know, he was pretty well known for his promo work,
right,
in the circuit. And so to not really highlight that, to have him be a part of this group that's a pretty silent group, all things considered.
Yeah.
It's not what I want.
They're pretty silent except for those crappy video packages.
Yep. Yeah.
But you found this camera sitting on the floor, so now we're going to be really angry at it. And then we're going to put the camera down and wonder how in the world anyone ever got the footage of this.
Yeah. Just hope for it.
Yeah.
It'll be WrestleMania 36. Like, we found some footage. Yeah, the Shield's been disbanded for 6 years now.
But... Unless, you know, whoever Brad Maddox's camera guy just knows when Shield's is going to be there. So he just leaves his camera and just kind of walks away.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter. Sometimes it'll be Neil, but it will be
mostly from now on, it'll be Chris.
So, at CR Attire, follow us. We'll be tweeting live every Monday.
We also have a Gmail account for you to send all your love mail, your hate mail, anything you want us to address here on the show. You can send it to classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast and other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment there. We'd love to hear from you because we love all you pulsers.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, we are on iTunes. Woo! Look us up on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You get new episodes automatically downloaded to you every single week.
5 stars.
Give us a rating. Give us a review.
5 stars.
It'll make us feel good. It'll make you feel good.
It makes the whole world go round.
Yep. So until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Take a nap, huzzah.